Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 675, and we are recording on Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. My name is Martin Spriggs, and the show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And I have a podcasting partner helping me discuss that, think through that, talk about it, share those ideas with you. And her name is Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you for episode 675. Hard to believe, but time marches on. I was just looking at my calendar, and the next time we record will be in the Lenten season. Believe it or not, Lent's going to start pretty soon. Yep. It's hard to imagine that we're already to that point in time. The good news is hopefully that means spring is not far behind. So
I can't wait for that. Just looking out the window today, I'm kind of home office bound today with sleet and ice and all kinds of yuck out there. How are things over in Mankato?
Yeah, there may be ice underneath, but we're getting the snow portion of this lovely winter weather. So it's a little white outside my window today.
Yeah, we haven't had much precipitation. We've just missed us. Chicago's gotten killed, and this kind of put a damper on school's out today, everything. So a true snow day for my wife. So she's excited about that. Just looking around the home office here. And I do usually try and do one day at home. Just with the office set up here in the recording studio, I do some recording on Tuesdays mostly. So I did that this morning, but you've been doing this for a long, long time, both totally virtual and totally home office. Sarah, I was going to ask you this before. It takes a discipline to stay productive, which is kind of our topic today, in a home office environment, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. You don't have interaction with other people. It can get kind of boring, actually. It can get kind of dull and sleepy at times. And so I think for me, over time, I've just kind of learned a cadence, and I've learned when my body needs a little bit of a break, and I get up and do the stairs 3 or 4 times, you know, just to try to get the blood flowing and have a little activity in my day and stuff. But there is discipline involved for sure.
Yeah, you don't have walk-ups and you don't walk around as much, I've felt. And, you know, it makes that afternoon stretch, you know, a little bit more difficult unless you have that balance. And then I found that, and I do this now in the office too, and this is something fairly recent to me. I never really did that. And maybe we'll talk about it in our discussion. Just, it helps me to block the time a little bit better so I'm trying to keep, you mentioned a cadence, but, you know, so the first thing I do when I sit down at the desk is to, you know, look at that calendar and say, you know, what's going in this slot, this slot, this slot. And that tends to keep me both motivated, but also focused and productive. So it's maybe a little bit different thing. And those people that are home officers or maybe new to home office have kind of tried to figure that out too.
Yeah. And of course, your mileage may vary. Your season of job responsibilities may vary. I'm thinking of busy teachers and how they'd wish they could block out their time and really be able to stick to it.
Right.
Because you have to react to the things around you and stuff, depending on your job responsibilities. But certainly to chip away and be productive, if you have things you need to accomplish, it takes some discipline, some systems to help you perhaps.
Yep. That's a nice lead-in segue to our topic, and I was really looking forward to this today. The top five for each of us, the top five productivity apps or tools we couldn't live without. And I think there's so many options out here, and I think they're going to be different for each person. But it's kind of interesting to hear what somebody else does and what tools they find helpful in staying productive. However you want to define the word productive, I guess you can do that however you want. But you and I both put together our top five list in no particular order. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of share those and talk through the tools and apps that help us out a lot. So Sally, you want to kick us off with and you can rate them however you want, but start wherever you like.
No particular order, but these are tools. I wouldn't say I can't live without them. I think I would live without these tools, but
that's a little bit of an overstatement, but
maybe I wouldn't be as efficient as Martin Spriggs needs me to be for podcasting and all other tech duties for Wells. Yes. So yeah. And actually for personal life too, the first thing I listed was the cloud. And you know, we all love sunny days, but that cloud has been very important to us and it's grown in its importance over time. I can remember back, you know, kind of first experiencing maybe Dropbox or something to that effect where I could send someone a file and they could get it on the other end and I didn't have to use email to do that transfer or whatever. Now I am definitely a Google Drive girl on my personal side of life and I'm a SharePoint girl on my professional side of life. Mm-hmm. And so I use those cloud tools to store resources, and they can be of a lot of different flavors, you know, files, and also to collaborate and share those resources with other people. And then the number one thing that I do is I have it at all times available on my phone or whatever device I sit down at. If I'm at someone else's computer and I need to dial in and, you know, find the particular thing, I can do that because it's stored in the cloud. And I'm a little bit precise about the way I store things. I do take some time kind of on the front end to organize things I store. And I do it pretty simply. You know, I have a decent folder structure that I can find things in. But as I add things, I put dates on the folders that I create. Because almost always I can kind of dig through my memory bank and come up with an approximate time that I did something or worked on a particular thing. And when I have that time, I can locate it a lot easier. Now, certainly search tools are amazing and they can find things a lot quicker than my brain can remember the time frame most of the time. But if I need to, if I'm in a pinch, then I do have it organized in a way. So it's not just a haphazard cloud. Mine mm-hmm. is a very clean and well-kept cloud. And so I would say that that makes me pretty productive no matter what device I'm on.
Are you pretty happy with the search functionality of those services? I mean, do they kind of drill down to and get what you need?
Almost always I can find what I'm looking for through search. And mm-hmm. maybe you have to have a little bit of finesse in the way that you're searching or whatever. But obviously Google's in the business of search. Sure. So they're going to have a really decent search capability connected with their Drive product. And yeah, the same is true. Obviously OneDrive for too. The yeah. Microsoft. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you marry your analog stuff? Because I know you do pen and paper. and then you do digital. Do you digitize those or you just kind of know what goes where and you can find the stuff that's still in analog form?
You know, maybe you need to stay tuned for some of my other picks. How about I just leave you hanging okay. on that question?
I'll press the pause button on that.
Okay. One. Thanks.
All right. I'm up next with my number one and it's not the number one, but it's one of five. And a couple of these picks are going to be Mac-centric because I find myself using the Mac a lot more lately, although yeah, I spend some time in both. But this will be more for Mac users because there really isn't an equivalent. Well, I shouldn't say there's no equivalent program with this name, this product, but there are similar programs. And this is called Alfred. Alfred is, well, their tagline is an award-winning app for macOS, which boosts your efficiency with hotkeys, keywords, text expansion, and more. Search your Mac and the web and be more productive with custom actions to control your Mac. And that's a pretty good description because basically Alfred is the tool I use to almost do everything related to opening an application or searching for a file. And totally customizable. You can search through your file system. You can search through online services like Google Drive, like SharePoint. It has one of the nicest features is it has a clipboard function that is really cool. So you can go back into your clipboard history and find previous commands and bring them up or save them or tag them so that if there are certain things that you just want to kind of have around You can do that. They have workflows. So you can create really complicated things like open this or that, or open these things at this time of day, or when you log into your computer, I want these things here and this and opened on this part of the screen. So it does a nice job at just kind of making it easy to just do common things without taking your fingers really off the keyboard. You can set whatever keyboard shortcut you want to open Alfred, but I just use the command space key, which is the spotlight key normally in Mac OS, but this kind of supersedes that and takes its place. So very nice product. There is a free version. There's also a paid for version. I'm doing kind of a 1A and 1B on this one, Sally. And the next one is a similar tool, has a little bit different purpose in respect to macros though. And this is Keyboard Maestro. And this is a Mac only as well. And this is really, they call it automation software. And you kind of think back to the old world of macros. You know, a lot of word processors and those kinds of applications had built-in macros. I remember WordPerfect from long ago had a whole macro language where you could automate stuff. This basically does it for your computer. So you can put together things that are actually very complicated. It can record your keystrokes. It can search for images on a web page and click on them. So you basically capture them and say, whenever you see this, you know, in the script, this image, this button, this whatever, go ahead and click on it. And then once that next page opens, do this and do that. This was a real lifesaver. I'm putting together the three Through the Bible in 3 Years series or re-recording those, but I'm also re-inputting those into our WordPress system. So we're screen scraping off of Bible Gateway. I could get the original source, I guess, but it's just as nicely formatted on Bible Gateway. So there's a number of actions that pull it from there and make sure all the boxes are checked and the footnotes come across and the renumber is appropriate and so on and so forth, so that it makes it a real easy process. So if there are things that you do that are really super repetitive, this can really help out, and it can do almost anything that you see on your screen. It can find fields, fill out forms, just all kinds of things that it can do. A lot of built-in actions as well. So I would say this was a real lifesaver. There is a free trial for this, but it is not free. Let's see if I look at pricing here. It is, what is it, $36 for indefinite use. So it's not one of those subscription things. So you pay your $36 and you got it for life. And they do update it quite often. And it's really kind of the go-to standard for any kind of automation. It can use JavaScript and AppleScript and all the scripts. And it's just kind of a nice way to do those, to make those automated tasks a little bit more palatable. So that's my number one.
All right. So my first question is, with Alfred around, do you have like a bat cave in the basement of the Spriggs Manor there? And just the inquiring minds want to know.
No, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool name though, isn't it?
Yeah. Are they cloud-based? Is that something that you can access? So they're like desktop software.
They're totally on the Mac. They're installable applications. So yeah, you wouldn't get the kind of the in-depth kind of in the guts of the computer capabilities if it were web-based. So
you're all about the guts, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Going deep. All right. Okay. Let's go to number two for you.
I had listed for number two, Genius Scan. And for those that listen to Wells Tech regularly, you're going to recognize that I shouted the praises of Genius Scan pretty recently, as it was my 2021 pick of the year as we counted down our favorite picks. Genius Scan is a mobile app. Their tagline is Genius Scan is a scanner in your pocket. And basically, just really easy to pull out your phone and snap a special photo. It's not just a normal photo, but kind of a special photo with this app. And what it does is it looks at what you're taking a picture of and it finds the corners of it. So it kind of shores up the alignment and everything of what you're scanning with your phone. And so your picture is cropped down to precise corners and then lined up nicely. And obviously a huge help, their example image shows someone taking a picture of a receipt. So if you have a lot of receipts to keep up with and expense each month or whatever, great for doing that. But you can also do all kinds of other things. For me personally, I use it more than anything else on medical type receipts, prescriptions and things like that, because we have a healthcare savings account and I need to resubmit those to get reimbursed out of my healthcare savings account. And so I'm always just snapping a quick photo, sending it to myself as a PDF or saving it to my file structure. I can save it to Google Drive or to my phone's file system, whatever I want to do, and then uploading that to the website that we use for our healthcare reimbursement. And so that's one thing that just makes my life so much simpler, handling all those receipts and processing, you know, different paperwork and things. I was at an event not too long ago, Martin, and the best cake I've ever tasted in my life was served at kind of a potluck, and everybody wanted the recipe. And I was the lady that made it. She sat down and wrote down the recipe on a little, you know, like 3x5 card. I snapped it into my Genius Scan and emailed it to everybody there. And they were just so impressed. Everybody was downloading the app and getting very excited about Genius Scan. So it comes in handy in so many different ways, but it's nice to have a scanner in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I do. It comes in handy for tax things too, or just snapping receipts on the way out of the store, even so you don't forget about them. Yeah, I use, forget what I use. I think we talked about this not too long ago. I use Scanner Pro, but does a similar thing where even if you're not dead on, you're skewed a little bit, it straightens that stuff out, and you can do it in black and white, color, grayscale, white. It's got a whiteboard mode, I'm assuming, like mine does, which is kind of cool. So it'll kind of, it detects that it's on a whiteboard and removes glare and all that good stuff too. So that's awesome.
Nice.
Price on that again was what?
They have a free version.
Okay.
That's awesome. All I've ever used. They have a pay for version that gives you more formats you can save into and stuff, but the free version allows you to save as JPEG or PDF. And then it allows you to save to Google Drive if you want to do that. So it's plenty for me.
Very good.
I beat your price, I think.
Yeah, you did. My number two is a program called Obsidian. And it's in that space, and we did a show on this a while back called Personal Knowledge Management, or PKM. And it's essentially a note-taking app with wiki-like functionality. What I mean by that is it's very easy to link notes to notes. So you simply start typing, and then if some another thought occurs, you want to take a different approach or go down a different path, it's very easy to just inline, make that note, come back to it, and fill it out later. One of the nice things about Obsidian is it's all based on Markdown files. And Markdown files are basically text files with special formatting, but they can be read as text files. So we're familiar with Markdown files when we use one of our favorite programs, Trello, at work. So it asks for a Markdown, which is essentially a way to, you know, create headlines and links and lists and those bulleted lists, those kinds of things. So that's one nice thing about Obsidian, is it basically just sits on top of all your Markdown files, which makes them super searchable, which is nice. There's all kinds of plugins that you can add, calendaring, task management, graphing, sketching, those kinds of things. It is it's a fairly new program. It's only been on the scene for a couple years, but growing in popularity. There's others in this category like Rome Research and Notion, and there's a few others. Craft is another one. They're all kind of in this area. But one thing that they all do well, I think, is the linking, which is the power of the note-taking app. So basically, this is where I take meeting notes. This is where I would do drafts for blog posts. Or if I'm teaching a course, I'll begin kind of the work of the research that goes into that course here. kind of building blocks and ultimately use them and put them together into a full-blown course. So it's very flexible and super simple. It's, again, something that's very lightweight. You can get it on your phone, tablet, or on Mac or PC. So it's super simple to get where you need it to be. And again, it's free. And there are some plugins that are that cost something, but for the most part, almost all the features you'll ever need are free. So great tool. That's Obsidian. They call it, what do they call it here? A second brain for you forever. So they're basically trying to get you to externalize, you know, what is in your head. And that's kind of a GTD principle to get it out of your head. So that you have it, you don't have to have your brain remember it all. So that's Obsidian.
Good stuff. And you said all the different devices, you're getting access to your notes, your notes.
Yeah, they can sync. So. There's two ways that you can sync it through all those notes through Dropbox or Google Drive or iCloud Drive, or Obsidian has a sync product as well, but that's a paid for product. It's not a lot of money, but it's something. So all you have to do is sync your markdown files, and those are, you can sync those however you sync anything. So
good deal.
All right, Sally, what's up next for you?
Next for me, I didn't realize I was stealing this. We kind of coincided with our picks. And so I get to go first. I didn't mean to do that, but I will. A key to my productivity is knowing the right thing at the right time, I guess is a good way to say it. So kind of that just in time, I get the reminders that I need. I have things that tell me what to do when I need to do it. And one of those that I rely on really heavily is my calendar software, both at work using Outlook or at home using Google products, Google Calendar, and Gmail. I can set up reminders for myself on my calendars. And then typically, I get email or pop-up reminders that say it's almost time for whatever you're doing. You can do that with your meetings you've scheduled, but you can also just kind of schedule yourself a meeting and set a reminder on it. And so if I end my workday with something on my mind that I really need to check on this first thing in the morning, I'll just pop a little reminder at the top of my calendar for the next morning, and it'll pop up and refresh me that I was going to look at this right away in the morning. So that's super helpful to me. Another tool that I use for the same kind of thing is something we've talked about many times on the podcast, Martin. It's something called Follow Up Then. You can get to it at followupthen.com. It's free. I think they have a pricing model as well, but I've never really paid for it. I've just used the free version. And basically, as you're sending email, you can include a future date or time, and it will send you that email again as a reminder. And if you CC that Follow Up Then address with the date and time, everyone that's copied on the email will get the email reminder. So it can be a reminder for multiple people if you want it to be. Pretty simple to use. You just address your email with a date and time kind of formatted ability, point in time. That's what I'm looking for. And then the email comes back to you. A copy of it comes back to you at that set time. And they have a lot of versatility on how you can do that. So you can say, send me something in 4 weeks. 4 weeks at followupthen.com would be the address you'd use, or two hours, you can abbreviate it to H instead of spelling out hours, or you can spell out hours. You can put in specific times, you can put in specific dates, and then you can put in a combination of the two. So if you were to say 9 a.m. tomorrow at followupthen.com, you would get the email back at that time. So pretty slick thing to use and easy to incorporate. It's almost impossible to make mistakes in how you format the date and time that you want the reminder. It's really easy to do and free. So followupthen.com is a great little utility to put in your tool belt.
It is cool. I saw one of their items there, 6 years. That's a long time in technology.
Might surprise yourself to get that message that's 6 years from now. Yes.
Send yourself a little nugget 6 years from now. but that is really a key to productivity and just in general, knowing what's out there and reminding yourself that, hey, this needs to be followed up on, because that's really one of the killers for productivity is just things just go to die and you're not quite sure where things got stuck. And this is a great way to set that little reminder. So,
especially since your email might have a lot of content that you need associated mm-hmm. with what you want to be reminded about. So yep. get the bonus of having all that information okay. along with.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on that one. Yeah, we are on the same page here with our number threes, and mine was basically Outlook. Outlook is kind of the hub for our communications at the Synod level, and calendar and email. And those two actually work pretty well together. I don't use tasks in Outlook, but I do use calendar and email religiously. And that's one thing that I think Outlook does super well. I have no issues with how it handles it. You can have multiple accounts. There's news coming, and we'll put a link in the show notes that there's a new version of Outlook coming called One Outlook, or I don't know if that'll be the final name, but that's the way they're referring to it now. Kind of a one Outlook to rule them all, so to speak, where it will be and feel and look and act the same on all platforms. So whether you're on the web, a Mac, a PC, a phone, whatever, they're all going to have that similar approach, which will be kind of nice because I use Outlook on all those devices, and to have one Outlook would be kind of nice. And they've come a long way. I don't know, Sal, if you've ever used the web version of Outlook, but it's pretty slick. It does a nice job. So I'm looking forward to them rolling that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually use it for my class I'm taking. I've been taking some classes through Waukesha County Technical College, and it's been really neat to kind of divide up my life that way. So I have mm-hmm. Gmail for personal and Outlook desktop software for work, and then I can use Outlook on the web for my school and yep. keep them all kind of separate and organized. And it is a great interface. I yeah. have no problems with it.
Yeah, you can use keyboard commands and all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you, when you're talking about calendars, so you maintain a personal calendars and professional calendars. Those two are separate things for you, two different programs even.
Yeah, definitely. My phone is kind of the bridge between all of it. I used to actually have my professional email coming into my phone email. And that's changed over time. So I have the Outlook app, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It keeps my professional email kind of separate from everything else. But then I have a lot of different accounts coming into my my phone email interface, the mail Gmail program yeah. that comes with the iPhone. And so I don't have to go a lot of places to see, for instance, things that come in related to LWMS or MLC Auxiliary or, you know, mm-hmm. from my children or whatever it may be. It kind of all marries together on my phone, and I like that.
Yeah. I do that too on mail, but on calendar, I've got to just have one. I need to be able to see morning, afternoon, evening, you know, together. So I don't schedule over each other, but.
Sorry, your question went over my head, but I do that on calendar too on my phone. That's the place that pulls it all together.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. It's very difficult,
it's a little
to
confusing.
Schedule without it.
If you're standing in the doctor's office, you want to add it to the right calendar in the moment on your phone, mm-hmm. you know, right. So you're scrolling through all the options that are there, but that's how I do it. So.
Yep. Yep. All right. I think we are down to number four for Sally.
Yep. Number four on my list. Again, no surprise to longtime Wells Tech listeners, I'm sure. It's the program Trello. Martin mentioned it earlier. And Trello is something that I use daily to organize things in a visual fashion on the web. And it too can be collaborative. You can share them, you can make them public, whatever you want to do. This example I have on screen right now is from when we wrote our book, Martin, With All Your Heart, where mm-hmm. we were talking about Trello as a productivity tool for ministry. Just a brief example that shows you how you can organize things into lists, which are the columns on the web page. And then you can move things along as you work through different scenarios. You can move them through the list. It kind of is like a Kanban style setup, what I'm demonstrating here, although it doesn't have to be. Your list can have all kinds of different meanings. I have one page that I board that I use every year for my Christmas shopping, and I can see all the history of everything I've bought for people for years back, because I just reuse that board over and over again. And, you know, I have tasks for getting things mailed and what date I want to hit that on. And it can send you email reminders as well. You can tag things. It's kind of a Pandora's box, which is good and bad sometimes, but it's very versatile. So you can organize things in a lot of different ways, use tags. You can put images on the screen and colors and backgrounds and all kinds of things. So you can kind of go crazy in Trello, but it also can be very productive, especially if teams are collaborating around a project and they can see different pieces of the project coming together through the Trello cards. Besides the visual layout of the whole view of the board, you can open up any card, and there's places to add checklists and attach images and files and write comments back and forth to people and things like that. So really easy to keep track of all the things associated with the different tasks that are represented on a Trello board. So used it professionally, used it personally, find it a very useful tool to keep up with projects and progress on task.
Excellent. Yeah, it's the lifeblood of every project we run at the Synod office. So
yeah,
it's got that going for it for sure. All right. My number four, if there is an item on my list that I would basically come to a dead stop if I lost or didn't have access to, is this next one, and that is LastPass. Password management. It is a password manager that is on your computer, in your browser, on your phone, tablet. It's wherever you are, and it really makes life in a secure world more tolerable. You know, we want strong passwords. We want different passwords for all of our accounts. And really, the only way I can think of doing that is using a tool like LastPass. We use it at the Synod office, where we can share passwords, so that, which is kind of neat, because you can have an administrator for a particular shared folder of passwords, and they can dole out the passwords to the people that they're sharing it with, let's say department members or other coworkers, but they have different granular settings so that they can say, well, you can't see the password, but you can use the password. So if you can go to a site, you can fill it in, but you can't necessarily see it or change it, which is kind of nice. So you've got levels of permissions with it. Debbie and I use it at a family account. So we share passwords with each other, bank passwords, and all that good stuff. And that's really helpful. So we don't have to, share those or ask each other, hey, how do we log in with this? Sometimes there's only one account for a particular account, or we want to make sure that, you know, if something would happen, each other has access to, you know, what we need. It has a kind of an SOS function, so that if you don't log in and, you know, so many months, or you can set that, that they, your partner automatically gets access to the whole system. It sets up the ability to auto create secure passwords. So if you are signing up for something, put your username in and you let LastPass fill in the rest, and it can fill it in as strong as you like or as weak as you like. Sometimes there's different password requirements for different sites. You can also put documents and other private information. So if you scan your driver's license or those kinds of things, bank accounts or routing numbers, that kind of stuff can go in LastPass as well. So you always have it. So security numbers, just kind of a vault, you know, of all your secure stuff. And, you know, they obviously take great care, or they wouldn't be in business of securing your information. But if there's something we want to look up, it's typically going to be in LastPass. So that's my number four.
Yeah, I'm a fan too. And I am a personal user as well as user for work. And that is like the one thing that when it comes up to renew it each year, I pay my money on time. I want to make sure I don't lose my LastPass. And I don't know if you mentioned, Martin, but it works on the mobile devices as well. When right. You have the paid for plan.
Yeah, you have to pay for it. And then it comes with the mobile version, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it works pretty well. You have to give it the right permissions. You have to tweak it a little bit so that when you go to the web page and then you hit pass, passwords, it'll come up, but it does work well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sally, what's the last one on your list?
Down Grand to finale. It. Save the best for last, except you already mentioned it. I am a pen and paper girl and don't always go completely digital with everything. I use kind of the bullet journal methodology, Martin. I have my own flavor to it. We've actually talked about that in the past on an episode of Wells Tech. I think I will share my screen quick. If you guys remember back in 2018, we had an episode where we focused on paper and pencil kind of bullet journaling. You can also do it digitally, but I'm more of a paper and pencil kind of gal. I even shared a picture at that time of what was going on my bullet journal back in July of 2018. So I've done different things over time. But basically, I rely on looking down at my calendar that's laying on my desk for my appointment times and things like that. I put to-do list on that same calendar interface, and then I check them off using kind of the bullet journal methodology. If you aren't familiar with bullet journal, you can head over to bulletjournal.com and learn more about that. But it's pretty simple. You make little boxes, and as you complete things, you check them off. And if you move it to next week, you put an arrow indicating that. And so that's kind of the format that I use as I work through my week. And then when I review my end of week status and things and plan for the next week, I move things forward into my next week's calendar that need to move. And so, I am a fan of bullet journal. And if you want to learn more, there's a million resources out on the web.
No kidding.
Yeah. And a million different ways that people do it. So, you asked earlier about digitizing some of those things, and I do that at times with Genius Scan. So I can take a picture of the pages of my paper journal and bring them into a digital format, either a photo or a PDF or whatever I want. Other times I have used a journal type interface on my iPad, but I mainly use that for note taking. And so, then it's digital, obviously, on the iPad. But for my day-to-day productivity, calendar, things to do, it's almost always in paper format. So there you have it, a podcast about technology, and I'm recommending that you use paper. Go figure.
There's all kinds of technology you plug in there, though, too. You've got a little printer that you print pictures in and cool pens and that kind of stuff. So accessories. That's the
very
thing.
True.
Okay. All right. My last pick. And we kind of went on a similar approach where it's kind of the capture, what we live with, what our organization tool is last. And that for me is an iPad mini. And this was on my top list at the end of the year as well. And this is along with the Apple Pencil are the two things that really go with me to every meeting. I take it to church. Everywhere that I might want to capture something, look something up, note something, catalog something, reference something, this is the tool that I use. So the Apple Pencil works really well with it. The size of the iPad mini is super nice. It's about this, I don't know how it compares to your journal. It's maybe even a little bit smaller. But I can put it in a suit pocket even if I needed to. And it does a nice job. And along with that, I use Notability. I've talked about that in the past, so maybe that's a 5A pick as well. But I think one of the things I really like about it is it's all in one place. And there's really nothing that I can't put in there. I can take pictures. I can scribble notes. I can type. I can look stuff up. It's got all the things that I would need to kind of keep myself together in a few words. And I think that's the the nice thing about it, and very durable. And I think it's kind of the perfect productivity tool to kind of bring all those things together. All the things that I mentioned, you know, most of the things that I mentioned before are contained in there. And it's a very nice productivity tool. And you pair that with the Apple Pencil, which works super well. I think there's probably not a better drawing experience, a digital drawing experience, than, you know, the iPad and the Apple Pencil. I put a paper-like screen on it, so it's got a little bit of a paper feel to it, a little friction to it, and it's just a nice tool. So that's my number five.
Awesome. I'm guessing, Martin, if you ever had a weak moment and really wanted some paper, you could print something from the iPad.
You can print from the iPad, and imagine I have. That. So it didn't always used to be so easy, but it actually is very easy now. So, all right. So I should note that I do have an iPhone, and that is used as a capture device too. But wherever possible, I take that iPad mini. And I'll include a link, or we'll include a link. Sally include a link to an article I ran across. Paperlike is the screen protector I use. But they put out, they have a nice blog about different apps. And I think I shared this last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever. They have a nice blog, and they always do some nice ratings of note-taking apps. And they just pushed out another blog post called The 7 Best Note-Taking Apps for iPad. So we'll put a link to that as well if you're interested.
Very good.
All right, let's move along. That was a long-winded segment, which I kind of
I'm saying would be, but these Wells Techers have no excuse. They got to be productive now.
That's right. They got all the tools, at least the tools we like. Yes. Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
Yeah, and we just want to make mention of a blog we came across recently. Actually, Martin, you might know more of the backstory. I think maybe it's changed a little bit.
Right. This had another name. Was it MinTech? Something like that. But now it's called churchleaders.com. And there's a ministry tech leaders portion to it. Mm-hmm. And they cover all kinds of things like closed captioning software and audio mixing and worship multitracks and productivity, et cetera, et cetera. So this is just a good go-to if you are into tech and ministry like we are, just a good bookmark to have. And talks about VR, and they usually have a lot of stuff on sound and having healthy tech relationships with your kids, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a lot of good content here. So make note of that. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Definitely.
All right. I think we are, if we haven't had enough picks, we're still going to do our picks of the week segment, and ladies first as usual.
And mine actually ties to one of your productivity mentions, the password manager in your life. And I thought this was a really great article. It came across my desk just recently, how to organize your password manager in 7 steps. 7 steps, it sounds like a 7-step program. Mm-hmm. I might actually be a good candidate for a 7-step program for my password manager, because I do kind of treat it like a vast wasteland. Like I push everything in there.
Yeah, it can get bonkers real easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't always pay attention to that. I was reminded, Martin, I don't know if you remember this reference or not, but one of our coworkers once suggested at a former place he worked, they had something called a Fat Paper Pete and Electronic Eddie Day. How's that for a name? And the concept was that like once a year, everybody would take a day, instead of doing their normal jobs, they would just clean up their lives, clean up their digital lives, get rid of files they didn't need, and organize things and things like that. And so maybe we all need an electronic Eddie day where we just take some time, schedule it on our calendar, and clean up our password manager. And this article gives you a lot of good ideas for tackling that job, including just deleting things that you don't use anymore. What a concept. Mm-hmm. And then the second one actually in the list really spoke to me, create a vault for old logins. So they're suggesting that you have a place that maybe you title it archive or something that has accounts you don't use anymore, old logins, but maybe you're not ready to get rid of them. And so you create a place to store them specifically, and then you take it out of your search at when you do search for a password that isn't something that comes up in the results. And there are settings you can use to do that. It talks about doing that in both OnePass and LastPass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's other things here. Mark your favorites, make proper use of tags, sort notes into the right categories. That's a big one for me.
Having me too.
Things organized in the right places. And you know, Martin, we both mentioned that we use the personal version of LastPass as well as use it for work. And those are kind of two separate places, but they marry together if you set it up that way. So you want to make sure you're always storing your work things in the workplaces and your personal things in the personal places. So that's a good cleanup task right there, just kind of categorizing and storing things correctly. Let's see what number 6 and 7, review password security issues and miscellaneous finishing touches. So your password software like LastPass or 1Password will tell you things like you've reused this password too many times. You should have unique passwords, and it'll point those kind of things out to you. So make use of that, dig into that software and learn it a little bit better, and do some cleanup, have an electronic Eddy day.
Yep. One thing I forgot to mention about LastPass, I think 1Password does it as well, is it monitors what's called the dark web. And if there are security breaches with your password credentials, it will let you know, saying, hey, you know, this site had this password. So another great reason not to reuse a password ever. And these tools make that available to do. All right. My pick of the week is a book. And actually, I'm picking it before I'm finished with the book. I am so happy with where it's headed. And it's not a long book, but it's called How to Take Smart Notes. It's by, and I'm going to butcher his first name. I think he's Norwegian or Swedish. Sonke Aarons is his name. And I can pull this up here. He wrote a book. He's an academic, very smart guy from what I can tell from reading his book. But How to Take Smart Notes, One Simple Technique to Boost Writing, Learning, and Thinking for Students, Academics, and Nonfiction Book Writers. So it's not going to teach you how to write the next great American novel, but it does do a great job at kind of reinforcing a system of how to take notes. And it's very clear right away that I've been doing it wrong for most of my life. And I totally get why. And it's, you know, the whole highlighting, write things in the margins of the book kind of thing is really not overly helpful if you're trying to take notes that ultimately you'll come back to and reuse and put together to make something more meaningful. So it kind of goes deep onto, you know, why do you take notes in the first place? And then how do you organize them? How to write a note? And then how do you organize them in such a way that, like you said, Sally, they're going to be in your face at the right time, like a reminder. And that's, you know, tools like Obsidian that I mentioned help you do that as well. So this is a real small book, 175 pages, I think, available on Kindle, audiobook, paperback, if you're a paper kind of person. But well worth it. I'm almost done with it, and I'm going to reread it again so I can try to implement some of these things in my note taking. But again, How to Take Smart Notes, well worth the read.
It's kind of like that old saying, garbage in, garbage out. So you're investing in that note taking so that you can make use of it. That's really smart.
That's what you're supposed to do, I'm told. Yeah. All right. We are down to the last segment in our show, and that's community news and feedback.
And we want to make mention of our Wells Tech Google group today. There's been some activity over there we want to point out, but just if you aren't part of it, this is a group of 189 people that are eager to discuss technology and ministry with you. So if you have questions or feedback that you want to share, this is a great place to do it. And you can become part of the group just point that out over on our Wells Tech site. There's a link to it up in our top social bar. So if you go there and you're not a member, you can click the button to join and we'll get you in there and you can begin to ask questions. They're here on the web, but you can also set up email delivery of the messages as well. Most recently, Lance Otto from St. John in Redwood Falls, Minnesota wrote in asking about YOLO Live, which is basically a dedicated device for live streaming so that you don't have to use your computer to live stream. You use this device, put all the inputs into it, you know, push a button and say stream it to YouTube or something along those lines. And I'm probably really oversimplifying. You would probably explain it a lot better, Martin. It was a great conversation and several people chimed in. Some people, I don't know if anybody actually said they were using this particular product that he asked about, the YOLO Live, but a couple of people recommended the Monarch HD, which is from a company called Matrox.
Yeah,
there you go, thank you. And I wrote down pricing as well. YOLO Live was like $899, this one $945.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of people said they were using Blackmagic's ATEM Mini Pro to do this, and they have a monitor with it, but they don't really need a keyboard or anything. All the functionality is in the device itself. Mm-hmm. And this one comes in at $495, so a little bit less expensive option for you if you're looking into these devices. And like I said, there were several people that chimed in on the conversation, so I'm sure they'd be willing to answer further questions if you had them. There's a pretty good discussion out here. And that's just one of many conversations around tech and ministry. And guess what? This is powered by Google. So there's a nice search tool up here at the top of the Wells Tech Google group where you can find past conversations that might speak to something that you're curious about.
All kinds of stuff there. So we point people there all the time. So there's some, and there's rarely ever a question that gets asked that does not have at least multiple answers. So great place to go. So Sally, you mentioned the way to find that. And that's also the way to find all the other places you can connect with us, Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and those kinds of places. By going to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. We also want to put in a plug for your maybe help in promoting our podcast. If you believe it is useful, leave a review or give it a star rating. If it's a 5-star, that's great. If it's something less than that, let us know and we'll try and make it a 5-star the next time. But that whatever podcast player you use, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts or Overcast or whatever it is you use, give us a rating there. That helps draw people's attention to the podcast, and maybe we can share some of this good stuff with them as well. So everything helps. Sally, I think we're going to have some fun times. Next time we gather together, we are going to be talking about the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society and their new website, some of the tech they're using and social, et cetera, et cetera. So tune in next time for some good chat around women's ministry.
Yep, looking forward to it.
That is going to about do it for this week. We are so thankful that you decided to tune in, and we pray that you have a great week and tune in the next time we get together. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.